Again, we're thankful for the opportunity that God has blessed us with. You've been an encouragement to me this morning, the Bible class and the worship too. I always leave being encouraged and thankful that I was able to be here. We know that we have so many that cannot get out. I think about Mary Hines and Mary Reams and others that are really confined to their home. But as we mentioned before, it's a good time for us to maybe do something, just to check on them as far as not going to their home, but maybe giving them a call or sending a card and just checking on them and letting them know that we haven't forgotten about them, that we miss them, and that we pray that the time will soon come that we can all be together again. It's times like this that you really do appreciate the coming together, the fellowship that we share in spiritual things during all this sickness. We need to be steadfast whether we're able to be here or not, and continue to serve God best we can, knowing that life will not always be. I put together this week some things that were on my mind that we need to keep in mind during this COVID-19. I put it together starting off in a little tract form, some things that do us good to remember. I'll put these out and you're welcome to pick one up. But now I thought, well, it'd be a good sermon. So I'll put in a sermon outline and we'll talk about some of the things that are contained in this tract this morning. So feel free to pick one up. There may be some references that I didn't include that I want to include in the sermon. So pick one of those up and read it, share it with others. Some things that we all need to keep in mind during this time of sickness. It's been difficult for a number of reasons. When you think about the impact that we have faced, businesses closed down, schools not in session, people sick, a lot of them sick unto death, not able to be together as we would like to be able to be. And it's been difficult. But even in spite of the difficulty of it, there's some things that we need to keep in mind. And in times of crisis, it's easy for us to forget things. And we tend to forget God in times of distress. And even in times of prosperity, we tend to forget. And then sometimes in times of distress, individuals have God on their mind when they wouldn't really else have God on their mind. And so this lesson reminds us of some things to keep in mind during this COVID-19, this coronavirus that's going around. Some things that we need to be reminded of, some important things that we need to know. And the first one I want us to think about is the fact that physical things are temporal. You can't put all your eggs in one basket, so to speak. You think about the stock market. A lot of people put a lot of emphasis on Wall Street and the stock market. Those things go up and they go down. They have times of prosperity, times of loss. Individuals had things as maybe a matter of months ago, but now those things are not even available to them. That teaches us, even during this time, that, ladies and gentlemen, physical things don't last. They're temporal. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, Paul said, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen." And he gives the reason in that verse. "For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You think about during this time of sickness, how much emphasis has been placed upon physical things, supplies short. People can't get things, hoarding up things, and then other people go and they're not there. Sales wiped out because they're scared. And I understand that there are things that are necessary, but I'm telling us and I'm just admonishing all of us and reminding all of us that we need to understand that physical things are temporary and things that are not seen are the things that are lasting. They're eternal. The Lord said, "Take heed, beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Luke 12 and then verse 15. All the things that we see, guess what, one day are going to be dissolved, burned up. 2 Peter 3 verses 10 and following. These things are not going to last. They're not lasting things. And we need to be reminded about that. Yes, we need to be prepared. Yes, we need to use good judgment and wisdom. and so forth and so on. We understand that. Best we can meet our obligations. But we also don't need to forget the fact that these physical things are one day going to be gone. And so they're not the most important things. But also I want us to understand, number two, that unfortunate things happen to even good people. We grapple with this one as God's people, and sometimes we question, how on earth can it be the case that good things happen, or unfortunate things rather, happen to good people? Well, that's life. Christian people are not immune to sickness. We're not immune to unfortunate things that other people have to go through. Just the other day, or it's been a few weeks back, we had mentioned here, maybe you heard it on the news, a gospel preacher in Tennessee lost his daughter, his son-in-law, and their two-year-old baby, his grandbaby, in the tornado that went through Nashville and Putnam County, Cookeville, and in that area. That husband and wife were Bible class teachers. You think, how on earth could something like that happen to good people? We're not immune from unfortunate things. And by the way, we don't know the behind the scenes. God does. God knows that. Sometimes individuals in the Bible had the idea that unfortunate things that happened to people was a result of some personal sin in their life. Now, granted, sometimes we may sin and that brings upon us consequences as a result of that. That can happen. But it's not always the case that when something bad happens to somebody, it was because they did something wrong to deserve it. The Lord refuted that on two occasions, and I'll give you both of them. Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Notice what the Bible says in Luke 13, beginning with verse 1. You know these passages, verses 3 and 5, because we often talk about them. In Luke chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Well, let's put your eyes on verse 3 first. He says, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Luke 13:3. You know that verse because we talk about it. Every invitation, most of the time, I give you that verse. But the context of that was refuting this idea that personal sin equates unfortunate events. Because notice in verse 1, the Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answered and said unto them, do you suppose or suppose you that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, now this unfortunate thing, this tragedy that befell them, that they experienced, do you think it was because that they were more sinful than anybody else? He said, no. That's what the word nay, by the way, in the King James Version means, no. But I tell you, except you repent, you'll likewise perish. And then he goes on to say, or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, do you suppose that they were more sinners above all the men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But except you repent, you'll likewise perish. And so Jesus is teaching them that doesn't equate sin in someone's life. Now they were, he says, do you suppose that they were more sinners above others? And the answer to that was no. But then there was a little incident over in John the 9th chapter. When Jesus, now you remember that verse in John 9:31 when the Bible says, now we know that God heareth not the words of sinners. Oh, we talk about that one. But do you know what the context of that was? Jesus had given sight to a blind man who was blind since birth. And you know what the disciples had asked about that question when they came across this individual? Notice, if you will, John 9 verse 1 beginning. Jesus passed by, as he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now watch what the disciples said. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, what a question. See, they equated some personal sin of this man or perhaps his parents that led to him being blind. And Jesus said, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God be made manifest in him, or declared or made known in him. And then he gave us sight. And so I say that we need to keep in mind that unfortunate things sometimes happen to good people, good by our definition. Well, they're good people. They won't bother anybody. And sometimes unfortunate things happen even unto God's people. Job is an astounding example of this. Here was a man that was a righteous man. One that feared God, eschewed evil, upright in his heart. And yet you look at what happened to him, but Job didn't know the behind the scenes. He didn't know the conversation that God and Satan had had. And he had all of the things that came upon him. In Psalm 47, verse 8. Psalm 47, verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. That's 46. Verse 4, chapter 47, or Psalm 47. Verse 8, God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of His holiness. Over and over the Bible attests to the fact that God reigns even in the kingdoms of men. And we need to understand that unfortunate things can happen even to good people. But then we also need to understand that life is brief. We have no promise of tomorrow. I have no promise that I won't get this virus that is going around, and I have no promise that that virus will not even cause my life to end. I'm not guaranteed that. I'm not promised that. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen to any of us, or that it will stop with everyone. But life is brief. The psalmist declared in Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10, when he talked about the brevity of life, notice what he says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. Some may be north of that. I'm not going to say I think so. Some are south of that. But if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away." In James 4 and in verse 14, James said, What is your life? For you know not what is on the morrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Life is brief. Then we need to understand number 4. During the time of this sickness, it needs to be a constant reminder to us that now is the time to work. Jesus Himself said in John 9, verse 4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." Just because sickness is going around doesn't mean that we need to stop being a Christian. And stop, I'm not saying you have, so don't feel like I'm saying that. Just a reminder for all of us, an encouragement to all of us. Keep doing all that God says to do, to the best that we're able to do it. Because now is the time to work. The time will come when we'll not be able to do it by reason of sickness, age, or death. Now, while we're able to, we need to do the things that God would have us to do. John said, "Yeah, saith the Spirit, right saith the Spirit, blessed are they which die in the Lord, for henceforth saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works to follow them." Now's not the time to rest, then will be the time to rest, not now. Ecclesiastes 12:1. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Seek God, especially our young people, in the time of your youth. Some of you young that are with us, you've made that decision. And you ought to be commended for that. Now is the time to work. But also, number 5, we need to be constantly reminded of the fact that how blessed we are. Sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are until things that we once had are taken away. Think of that. How blessed we are. In times of prosperity, it was a time of people to be reminded to not forget God. I want you to come with me to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want us to notice what Moses had told the children of Israel long before they went into the promised land. Notice what he said. God had promised him a land flowing with milk and honey, a beautiful land, a land that would be sufficient to meet their needs. God would take care of them, give him that land. And notice what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, beginning with verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. In other words, you're going to have these cities, you didn't build them, and houses full of all good things that you didn't fill, and wells digged that you didn't dig, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Now watch this. Beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. I'm telling you, in times of prosperity, you know what the tendency of men is? To forget God. And we need to be reminded of passages like this, that when we are blessed, and ladies and gentlemen, we are blessed so far beyond what we need. Don't forget God. Don't allow your life to be caught up in things that you possess. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks. Always give thanks unto God, because the time may come when you don't have them. And then you'll be realizing, and by you I mean all of us together, we'll be realizing how blessed we truly are. I wonder if folks have been thinking about that recently in our country. How blessed that they were, and maybe they didn't give God thanks for it, in obeying Him, living for Him. But also number six, we need to be reminded to do good unto others. Galatians 6:10, the Bible says, as we have opportunity therefore, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. That's an individual obligation that we all have. And there's eternal consequences to the positive and the negative of doing that. If we do it and be faithful unto Him, which includes doing things unto others, we'll have life eternal. If we neglect to do those, in life, everlasting punishment, Matthew 25:31-46. Doing that requires, necessitates we take mind off self and put on someone else. Look not every man on the things of self, but every man on the things of others. Philippians 2:4. Then in verse 5, for this mind was also in Christ Jesus. James 1:27. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Be reminded about that. And don't forget about other people. Number 7, the importance of being ready. You need to be reminded about that. You don't know, I don't know, if we're going to catch this virus. I've said I hope not. But I'll tell you that it's a constant reminder of things we need to be reminded of, the importance of being ready for the judgment to come. Hebrews 9:27, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Why? Because we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14:10-12, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 10. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did His part. Jesus did His part, shedding His blood for the remission of sins, Matthew 26, and in verse 28. We have the revealed Word that we can know what God expects of us, Ephesians 3:3-5. And we've got to do our part, and that is to obey. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city, Revelation 22, and in verse 14. Are we reminded of the importance of being ready? You say, preacher, I've made myself ready. You have. But you got to be reminded to stay ready. All of us do. From me all the way around the room. Last point. During this time, this virus, this COVID-19, we need to be reminded of the importance of how great heaven will be. Think of that. In the book of Revelation 21 and in verse 4. Revelation 21 and in verse 4, the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor cry, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. How beautiful heaven must be when the time will come that all that we are experiencing, even during this time of sickness, the crying, the heartache, the death, the sickness and all of that will be things that are counted as former things. Won't that be great? I'm reminded of that in times like this. I hope you are too. There remaineth therefore rest unto the people of God, Hebrews 4:9. And if we want that time of that joy and that rest, we've got to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I hope that the lesson's been a benefit to you. Again, there's lesson outlines in the back. It's in track form. I'll put those in the back as well. You're subject to the gospel call by needing to obey, hearing, believing, repent of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. You have opportunity to do that and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. You have opportunity. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned your back on the Lord. You've not been faithful as you should. And you realize that and you want to repent of unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't spurn the invitation. Come as together we stand and sing.